the Word of God calls us to come out from the world and be separate from its defilement while at the same time going into the world to preach the gospel. Could it be that we've gotten it backwards? Could it be we've come out of the world with the gospel but gone into the world in terms of sin?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It is Wednesday here on The Line of Fire, which means that we're focusing on moral and cultural issues, but today we're looking in the mirror. We're not looking out at the world so much, although I want to talk to you briefly about some things happening in our schools. But for the most part, I want us to look in the mirror and ask ourselves some honest questions. Come on, realistically, can we really say that in this last generation that the church has impacted the world and changed the world rather than the world impacting the church and changing the church? Come on, let's be honest about it. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, the discussion on Facebook, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown. You'll also find some important links, a video message that I did recently answering some questions from some grads and others gathered in Orlando about the greatest danger facing the church in America today. That video link is there. And the article that I read to you yesterday, published in the Christian Post, Let the Awakening Begin with Us, that's all on our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown. Okay, let me give you a picture. You can differ with me. You can tell me if you think I'm wrong here, and we'll have a conversation about it. Maybe you can enlighten me to something I'm missing, or perhaps you'll say, man, absolutely, it's as clear as the nose on our face what's happened. So here's the deal. Let's just say, well, we'll give you an analogy here. Okay, it's not meant to be a perfect analogy. It's meant to paint a picture. We start a fitness club. We have 30 of us who are in decent shape, and we're going to start a fitness club, and we go into one of the most out-of-shape areas in our city and region. I mean, everybody is terribly, terribly flabby. People can't even get up the steps without getting out of breath. And we think, okay, this is awesome. We've got a great clientele here. We've got great potential to make a difference. It reminds me of the story of the man that was sent by a shoe company over to Africa. They decided they were expanding their base and they were going internationally. And they decided to send him over. They researched carefully and said, this city is the best place to start. And they shipped over hundreds and hundreds of boxes and cases of shoes. And he got there, and within hours, he sent a note back saying, get me out of here. Get me out of here. The people here don't even wear shoes. You made a terrible mistake. Well, he flies home, and the salespeople and the managers sit down together, and they said, no, we think this was a sound move. So they send another guy there. And within hours, he writes back and says, sends thousands, thousands more cases of shoes. Nobody here has any shoes. Different perspective. So we start our fitness club in a really needy part of the city, the most out-of-shape part of our city. And we tell people what they can, the shape they can be in, and we got a great plan. Well, 10 years later, not only has everyone in the city got flabbier and more out of shape, but we, who started the fitness club, are now all 100 pounds overweight, and we can't even go up a flight of steps without losing our breath. I believe, in many ways, that's a picture of what's happened to the church in America in the last generation. We have the answers. We have the answers about family. We have the answers about morality. We have the answers about sexual purity. We have the answers about how to conduct ourselves in the business world. We have the answers from the Word of God and through our relationship with Jesus. We should be the ones bringing change to the world. When you turn the light on, it should dispel the darkness. Instead, the darkness has clouded and even dispelled the light. Instead, rather than us changing the world has changed us. And the sins of the world, the sins of the culture, have become part of the life of the church. Do you agree? 866-34-TRUTH.
Change the world.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I want to be as straight and candid as I can with you. I believe with all my heart that God is going to send awakening to the Church of America. I believe with all my heart that there will be a shaking of our nation. I believe that God will hear the cries for genuine revival, not for hype, not just for some series of high-powered, exciting meetings, but real visitation, that God is going to pour out a spirit of repentance on us here in America. I believe it's going to happen on a widespread level nationally. I believe it because I believe God, in the midst of judgment, still pours out mercy and will hear the cries of his people. But I believe we have made a terrible mess of things and that the sins of the culture have become the sins of the church. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7880. Look, I believe in many ways we have been so desirous of being relevant. We have been so desirous of showing the world that we're just like them, that we have taken on the nature of the world. Look, I gave an analogy in the first segment about you start a fitness club and you go into an area where people are really out of shape. When you put up pictures for your fitness club, you put up a picture, and what I'm about to say is not to be demeaning to those who are terribly overweight, and I know if you could snap your fingers and change things in an instant, you would. You may feel terrible about yourself right now. I'm not saying what I'm saying to make you feel any worse. I'm just trying to illustrate a point, so stay with me, all right? So when you want to illustrate, when you want to advertise for your fitness club, do you put a picture up on the billboards of some terribly obese person sweating completely and red in the face about to pass out on the treadmill? Say, hey, you're out of shape. Join our fitness club. No, that's not what you do. What do? You put up a picture of someone who is tremendously fit. Hopefully not some sensual, lewd picture. We don't need that trash. It's a Christian gym, right? You put up a picture of someone who's really fit, really good shape, you know, thin, athletic looking, vibrant, muscular, and you say, hey, join our fitness club. You don't have to say you'll look like us if you join. What you want to say to that person is, hey, you know you want to get in shape. Here's an example of what can happen to you. The message is seen in the picture itself. And yet for many of us, for many of us living here in this world, we become like the world. I mean, Paul tells us that we should separate ourselves from the defilement of the world, on the one hand talking about idolatry and idol worship, on the other hand talking about the sins of the flesh. John tells us to not love the world, neither the things that are in the world, meaning worldliness, carnality, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. He's not talking about a beautiful sunset or lovely garden or you know, your adorable little grandchild. He's talking about the worldly things, not to love them. And yet many of us, many leaders, many pastors, teachers, Christians, feel that the only way that we can touch the world, the only way that we can touch the world is if we somehow become like the world enough and say, hey, we're just like you. We commit the same sins you commit. Our family's the same big mess as yours is. And not only that, I think for many of us, it's an excuse to sin. It's an excuse to sin. I've had a very intense schedule for several weeks running, and the other night said, I am just going to relax and chill. I'm not praying now. I'm not studying now. I'm not writing now. I'm not answering emails now. I'm not thinking about the next broadcast. I am just going to chill. And I thought, okay, here's some sci-fi thriller I could watch free online. I start to watch it. There's profanity. I didn't want to hear that. I shut the thing off. I thought, well, this is... I don't want to hear those words. It's not like I'm witnessing to a lost person on the street. We're talking about unnecessarily hearing polluting things that get in your mind. Now, I know it's a lot worse stuff than that. I'm just using it as an example. But what if, hey, I want to be relevant. I want to know what people are watching in the movies. I want to know what they're watching on the sitcoms. Okay. First, I don't see where the Word of God tells us to be relevant. Culturally sensitive, yes, but relevant, no. Let me take this further. I believe many people, to gratify the flesh, look for reasons so that they can legitimize sinful choices. because it's hard to swim against the tide. It's hard to go against the grain. And yet Jesus tells us as his disciples, that's a requirement. Deny yourself, take up the cross, follow me. I'm not talking about us imposing our moral values on the culture. I'm talking about through the preaching of the gospel and through living godly lives, we should bring about change where we are. Sinners get saved. They live differently. God's people awaken. We live differently. Won't that bring a change in our environment? Of course it will. Instead, I believe it's going the opposite direction. And rather than come out and be separate in terms of the sin of the world, we've come out in terms of solid evangelism and gone in terms of compromise. You agree? Disagree? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Let me go to the phones. Matt in Secaucus, New Jersey. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Oh, hi, Dr. Brown. How are you? Good morning.
Good to talk to you.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I mean, basically, I feel that once Christians start actually practicing Christianity, which most Christians don't, then maybe we will actually become the salt of the earth and the light of the world. I mean, every single ministry I listen to on a lot of stations reduce Jesus' teachings into moralism, and they prefer moralistic and legalistic rules. They point the finger at judgment and others, yet we always say, well, it's impossible for us to live the way Jesus wants to. It's like, once we start trying, maybe the rest of the world will turn our way.
In other words, Matt, where we have the Sermon on the Mount and other teachings that seem fairly radical, God wants us, empowered by his Spirit, with Jesus living inside of us, to seek by his help to live these things out, as opposed to saying, well, it's impossible.
Right.
And we do one of two things, Matt. We either just come up with a bunch of do's and don'ts and think that's what it means to follow Jesus, or we just say, hey, just be yourself and cater to the flesh. We tend to bounce one way or the other.
I think that's the wrong thing to do.
Yep, I'm with you, Matt.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for calling in. I appreciate it. God bless you, man. 866-34-TRUTH. Seth in Uniondale. I went to West Hempstead High School, not too far from Uniondale. Thanks for calling in.
Oh, hi. Well, I'm at work, so it's but I spoke to you before at JRA. I was just calling because I believe that the Assembly of God is really conforming to more traditions than to the Scripture, and that's why, you know, there's not really a distinction between, you know, people always, you know, who follow Yeshua, you know, Jesus, and, you know, people who are more, you know, culturally, you know, in the, they know some things about Scripture, but they don't have a personal relationship with the Lord, Yeshua.
Right. Well, certainly, Seth, there's a lot of nominalism in all different groups. You said the Assembly of God. You mean those that claim to be followers of Jesus, part of the assembly, part of the congregation.
Yeah.
There's certainly a lot of nominalism. What concerns me, though, and I've seen more of it in recent years than any other time that I can remember, what concerns me is that people who seem to have the lingo down, and they seem to talk about Jesus being important to them, and they're born again, and they love the word, have so much love for the world. That's what concerns me the most. 866-34-TRUTH. Friends, I'm not talking about sitting around as self-righteous policemen and just yelling at the world and criticizing the world. I'm talking about us being polluted by the sin of the world. I'm talking about we go into a sickly area, to give another analogy, as doctors with vaccines and with a cure for disease, and instead we come down with the disease itself. That is what has happened, in my view. That's why the church, the salt, has lost its saltiness, and we're not taken seriously by much of the world. 866-34-TRUTH. I just want to make something available to you. We did a teaching yesterday on prayer, and one of the callers mentioned some prayer series we put together. So we've put together a special resource for you. We've never done this before, but it's 36 hours of teaching on three CDs. My class is on foundations of prayer, foundations of intercession, and spiritual warfare, deeply grounded in the word, deeply practical. You can get all three, half price, postage paid, by calling 1-800-278-9978. That's 36 hours of teaching. It comes to less than a dollar per hour, if you can imagine that. 1-800-278-9978. Give us a call to get the special resource offer on prayer. You can still order for the rest of this week our resource offer on our classes for the School of Cultural Engagement. If you hadn't done that yet, it's something like 80% off the normal price, 6 weeks of classes. So give us a call, 1-800-278-9978. When we come back, we are going to focus briefly on what's happening in our children's schools, just to remind us of the urgency of the hour, and then get back to this discussion: has the church impacted the world, or has the world impacted the church?
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We are talking about the world changing the church rather than the church changing the world. The sins of the world becoming the sins of the church. The family breakdowns of the world becoming the family breakdowns of the church. And our need to experience awakening so that we can be agents of change, not by enforcing our morality on the world, but rather by the world being impacted by the gospel, the world being impacted by the message of Jesus, and the world being impacted by our lives being different. 866-34-TRUTH to weigh in, 866-348-7884, online, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, online. Okay. Before I go back to the phones and continue this discussion, I want to focus on something that I think every one of us agrees is very important, namely our kids. If we're talking about awakening, if we're talking about what happens when the light within the world gets dark, when the church becomes compromised, then we've got to look at what happens to our kids. What happens to the generation that's raised in the midst of a compromised church? What happens to the void that gets filled where the world steps in with its values instead of God's people leading the way with ethics and moral values, setting an example, showing a better way? This is what is happening in our schools. Let's play clip number one.
A pair of high heels got a Bay Area student sent to the principal's office. He wore them to class.
He likes the way they make him feel. They make him feel more confident, and he just likes to wear them.
Senior Haley Stepp is friends with the Riverview High School student who wore the heels. She says he's proud of who he is, but embarrassed now.
The first time he ever felt shame was when he was called out of school.
A teacher called the principal's office. That teacher said the boy's shoes were disrupting the classroom. Principal Bob Heilman says there was name-calling. He asked the student to take off the heels.
As a principal of a high school, I have to take the paternal side as well. I have to make sure that he's going to be okay.
Heilman says he was afraid the boy would be bullied.
Anytime anyone goes out from, quote, the norm, or anytime anyone wants to make a statement, you have to be willing to take what comes with it.
Riverview students we talked to believe most at school are accepting of students expressing themselves however they want and don't care who wears high heels, even if they don't like it.
I don't think guys should wear heels. Personally, that's my opinion.
I think it wasn't really that big of a deal. If he wants to do it, then he can do it.
Principal Heilman says any attire that's a distraction is a problem, but the student guidebook doesn't specify what types of shoes male and female students have to wear. Some students really took the issue to heart, organizing a small protest.
Well, one boy wore a dress on Monday, and after we chatted, he decided not to do that. I was concerned about his safety.
Principal Heilman says he thinks self-expression is a wonderful thing, but he did what he felt was best for the student, who was not disciplined, by the way. Bottom line is boys are allowed to wear heels at Riverview unless students are paying attention to the shoes instead of class.
All right. I am joined on the phone now by Lori Higgins of the Illinois Family Institute. When I wrote A Queer Thing Happened to America with one of the chapters focusing on children's education, I sent that to Lori for her input as a former school teacher and now as a Christian woman standing up for biblical family values nationally and in particular in the state of Illinois. Lori, thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for having me.
Are you surprised when you hear this report that you've got this issue of boys dressing as girls and vice versa in the schools, and that, in fact, some schools now have this as a protected right, gender identity expression of some kind?
Well, I guess I should be more surprised than I am. It doesn't surprise me because I've been paying attention to what's going on. It's always discouraging, and I wish people would pay closer attention to what's going on in other states, because these policies are coming to every school, and they're coming to our elementary schools. But for people who are paying attention, this is not surprising.
A few years ago, there was a tragedy with a 15-year-old boy named Larry King who was killed, shot in cold blood by another student. It turns out that Larry would come to school in dresses and high heels or made up as a girl, and he was harassing this other boy, and then, of course, this horrific act of murder. The other boy just came in, killed him in cold blood. The school came under some criticism, but pointed out that dress was protected by school laws, that you can identify however you want in your dress. Is that uncommon in America today?
Well, it's increasingly common. I shouldn't say it's common, but you see it increasingly where kids who suffer from gender identity disorder are dressing inappropriately at school. In other words, they're dressing according to the languages, the gender with which they identify. And so it's going to be an increasing problem, especially when you have schools that have enumerated anti-discrimination policies, as many schools, 10 states now have enumerated anti-bullying laws. Increasingly, schools are adding the terms sexual orientation, gender identity, and gender expression to their anti-discrimination policy, which is a huge problem. And if it hasn't happened in people's school districts, they need to oppose those changes. The problem is community members don't know when those changes are made to school policy.
Yeah, again, these things are out there for anyone that's involved in the school board, but most of us doesn't occur to us because we don't understand these things are happening. Hey, Lori, we've got just about a minute, but what are the implications of SB 48, the bill that it's on its way to passing throughout California to be signed by Governor Jerry Brown? What's that bill about? What are the implications of that?
I think this is one of the most troubling bills I've seen. If passed, this legislation will censor any and all, and this is a quote, instruction, activities, textbooks, or other instructional materials in public schools that contain any matter reflecting adversely upon homosexuality. And it would also require that all social studies classes study the role and contributions of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender. And it will mandating positive portrayals of homosexuality and gender identity disorder. So in other words, they're requiring censorship of some documents and requiring documents or resources that are actually making subjective assumptions, promoting particular subjective unproven assumptions about the nature and morality of homosexuality and cross-dressing in public schools. It's pedagogically problematic, and I would think anyone who's concerned about sound educational theory would oppose this, and certainly anyone who's concerned with morality should care about this.
All right, Lori, thank you so much for weighing in. I appreciate it very much. Lori Higgins from the Illinois Family Institute. Friends, you're talking about mandatory in schools in California, teaching about the wonderful role that a gay or lesbian person had in American history, and that will be taught to your little kid. So-and-so was gay. Look at what he did. So-and-so was transgender. Look at what she did. And this is now a role model for your kids. If you have not yet ordered A Queer Thing Happened to America, what are you waiting for? Go to Amazon.com, your earliest opportunity. Order the book there. You will be part of a moral and cultural revolution if you do. Go to Amazon, order A Queer Thing Happened to America today, and let's bring about change together.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Check the nations. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I have asked Lori Higgins just to stay on with us for a couple more minutes, Lori, from the Illinois Family Institute. We're focusing today on the church's call to impact the world through the gospel and through our lives being different than the world. Sadly, the world has changed the church more than we've changed the world. Sadly, the sins of the world have become the sins of the church, which is why we need awakening. But I believe God will hear the cries of his people, but we need to get desperate. Lori, thanks for hanging on with us through the break. I appreciate that. What involvement did you have as a school teacher prior to becoming part of the Illinois Family Institute?
Well, I worked full-time in the Writing Center at Deerfield High School. It's on Chicago's North Shore. It's an affluent suburb, a very liberal community. All four of my kids went there, so I really knew what was going on in the school. And I was a substitute teacher in that district for 2.5 years. I was a member of the English department when I was in the Writing Center. And over that decade between when my first child came and my last child, there were some activists that came on as faculty members, and they affected huge problematic changes in the district. And conservative parents need to understand there are many liberal teachers in schools, but many liberal teachers just want to teach their subject area. All you need is a handful of activists. They get on committees and they start affecting changes, and conservative parents lack the courage to say anything, and those changes move through. We have to be willing to be persecuted. If we're not, we pass a much bigger problem on to our children and grandchildren, and in the process, we teach them by our silence to be cowardly conformists. Parents will say to me, well, I'm afraid my child might experience some sort of grade retribution. If we're talking about high school students, I think they should be willing to accept that. My daughter, her senior year, my youngest, I was speaking out more. I was writing to our local press, and I always asked her what she would think of things before I sent them to the press or spoke at a school board meeting. She was always okay, and I asked her that about grade retribution, and she said, I'll take the hit. And that's what we should want our kids to say. I'll take a B instead of an A or a C instead of a B. This is too important for us to remain silent. I don't think there's a greater threat to First Amendment speech rights, religious liberty, or parental rights than that posed by the homosexual agenda.
And Lori, what types of changes did you see happen in that a decade or so that passed? And also, do you see just kind of a dulling of the moral convictions of the younger generation that go through this system, plus the media exposure that they get?
Well, that was very troubling, because for the two and a half years that I was substitute teaching, I was requested by teachers, particularly English teachers, and I was substitute teaching in an AP senior English class. And in the context of what we were reading, which I forget what it was at the time, we had a discussion about, are there any objective transcendent moral truths? And the kids, without exception, said no. And I'm in a heavily Jewish community, and I find that incredibly troubling for kids. We have a huge emphasis on the Holocaust in our community, that these kids would say there are no objective transcendent moral truths. They said a comment similar to the one that was played in your tape. I think one of the students said, well, I don't personally like that or find that appropriate, but, you know, sort of who am I to judge? And I think that radical subjectivism and relativism has affected even kids from evangelical families. And in terms of the changes that I witnessed, one was the addition of those terms to our anti-discrimination policy at the school, and the other is curricula. And I kept track what resources kids were exposed to starting their freshman year, and this was that espoused or embedded in these resources were pro-homosexual ideas.
You watched it in front of your eyes, Lori.
Yep, every year, freshman to senior year, yep. No conservative resources at all.
We must stand. Hey, Lori, thank you for joining us today on the Line of Fire. Friends, time to wake up.
Give us strength to always do what's right. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you, friends, for being with us on The Line of Fire. You say, yeah, we were talking about the church impacting the society with the gospel and by living differently and how the world has changed the church, and then you get off track with schools. No, that's why I played. That's why I had Lori on the phone with me from the Illinois Family Institute for that very reason, to say the moral apathy of the church, the moral compromise of the church is being felt right in our school systems with what our kids are being taught. We're God's people. Where are we making a positive difference? Oh, thankfully we are in pockets, in small pockets. But with the numbers that we have, we could be an extraordinary influence for good in our society. But doesn't start with you and me? Doesn't start with us living differently than the world is? Look, if I am full of the sin of the world, how can I change the world? If I am walking in the flesh, how can I do war in the spirit? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Lori actually, on another occasion, has written and talked about this, that she went into, I believe it was the high school library, and found over 70 pro-homosexual titles, titles espousing gay activist views, goals, talking points, etc., those things that would create sympathy for gay activism, and zero with a big fat O, zero on the other side. This is what we're dealing with, and as I've said, very sadly, many Christians have just gone in the closet and shut the doors because it's too costly to stand up, do what's right. You know, as Lori was talking about her daughter willing to have her mom write these controversial articles that the media would attack, and that's her daughter now. She's in school. Maybe some teacher's not going to like it and mark her lower and say she didn't deserve as good a grade. The daughter said, that's fine, I'll take it. God bless her. God bless her for having that attitude. God bless them for working together as a team. It reminds me, though, to take this further, that we're concerned about grade retribution here. Well, how about, I just came from my trip in India last year, my 17th time over there, a 17-year-old girl getting up whose father was beheaded by terrorists just a couple months earlier, his head chopped off with an axe in front of the wife and mother, the 17-year-old daughter standing up. I was in the meeting where she said, all my life I've wanted to live with a sense of purpose. Now I have a purpose because my father was killed doing the work of God, and I want to stay in this village and make a difference. That's gospel courage, friends, and we need to do what's right and go against the grain. People will criticize you. They'll call you self-righteous. They'll call you legalistic. They'll call you hypocrite. If you do what you do because you love Jesus, because you know that sin is destructive, because you know that the fleshly, worldly, polluting entertainment is not what you want to fill your heart and mind and spirit, and you live for something different, for higher values and goals, let the name calling come, because ultimately, those of us that engaged in sin before we were saved, we weren't raised in the faith and, you know, always loved the Lord. Those of us who are in the world know the destructive power of the world and know, in terms of the lusts of the world, there is nothing there that should have any appeal to us or any grip on us. As far as the flesh, the sin of the world, we need to come out and be separate. 866-34-TRUTH. On Facebook, ask Dr. Brown, ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. Leanne in Houston, also a school teacher, what's your perspective on this?
The woman is pretty much right, but one thing I have to say here in Houston, we had a situation just like that last year in one of the districts here, and I was real proud of it. The guy dressed up like a female. He wanted to wear female and go in the female bathroom. So he called Channel 2 out. So Channel 2 came out. It was a big thing on the TV. But everybody came. The favor was with the school. They did put him out. He did not come to school dressed as a female, and he did not go to the female bathroom. And then he tried it again the next day. They put him out again. So now he's out of the system. But I don't know if the school put him out. I think he just got tired of fighting with the school and left and went to another district. So I was real proud of that. Because I haven't heard a lot of what I hear, like what goes on up north and in California, here in Texas. I'm pretty sure it may happen, but...
Yeah, and Leanne, a lot of a lot of it is the culture that's there, for sure. A lot of it is more of a Christian-based culture, whether it's always true Christian or not, and more of a conservatism. But, of course, we're concerned about that kid. He's obviously got some problems and issues. And normally kids do not set themselves up for rejection. So this, you know, either he's looking for attention or probably he's just struggling. The kid needs help and the church needs to be there to offer help. But you do not traumatize an entire school and tear down gender distinctions in an entire school because somebody's got a problem. And yet that's what's happening in increasing measure in our society. Let me urge you again, friends, get A Queer Thing Happened to America. If you don't have the book, get it. It's well worth the investment of a few dollars to get this. You'll keep it for years and study it for years. The chapter on the children's schools will be so eye-opening for you. And then you go to the next chapter on our campuses and then the next chapter with the media. Those three chapters will be so eye-opening, and it's 15 full chapters. Go to Amazon.com, order your copy of A Queer Thing Happened to America. If you don't trust me, read the reviews of those who actually read the book, and you'll see this is something that we cannot avoid. Thanks for weighing in, Leanne. Interestingly, there's a lesbian mayor in Houston, and she may be doing a great job in many ways as a mayor. I'm also quite sure that she will advocate for the normalizing of homosexuality and to say that there is no moral distinction between a practicing homosexual and a practicing heterosexual. 866-34-TRUTH. Are we becoming like the world? I say yes. I say the church is losing its moral cutting edge. I say that the church is being dulled by the culture as opposed to us being a holy conscience to the culture. David in Washington, D.C. area, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, how you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
Basically, I just kind of want your opinion on something. I've been a born-again Christian for a while, for a few years, and, you know, like all of us, at one point I was in the world. So at work, I work around a lot of guys that aren't saved, you know, profane language and what have you. And I was just wondering, what's your opinion on finding certain things funny that you necessarily shouldn't? As far as, you know, like one of the guys, he takes me to my car after work, and a lot of times he'll say things, and I know that it's not morally right. You know, I'm talking about profane jokes or what have you. But I can't help but to find certain things funny and laugh at things, and I'm just wondering, do you think that in itself is sinful? What's your opinion on that?
Yeah, David, I do appreciate the question, and I was watching one time, flying overseas, there was a movie on in the main screens in the days when they just had the one big main screen in the cabin in the back there. And it was some gospel mocking show or movie. And right. I looked up, I didn't have headphones on, I looked up and it was a really funny scene. And the cabin was laughing hysterically, the people flying, and I thought, okay, it is funny. And it's if I was just watching it, I'm sure I'd be laughing. And my dad, who is a moral man, but still would cross the line here and there with some humor, he would tell me some jokes when I was a teenager. And then I got saved, and I didn't appreciate the jokes the same way. And so I understand the quandary. You don't want to seem like so self-righteous, like, don't talk to me about that because I'm a Christian. But if they tell you some profane joke and you're laughing hysterically over something, then okay, it's not a sin that you found it funny. There may have been humor in it, but obviously it's not what we want to cultivate or get into. So I think the thing to do is to lovingly sit down with this guy and say, you know, look, man, I was real foul. I was real crass. I was into all kinds of junk before I knew Jesus. You know, I love Jesus, man. And you're real funny, but could you like just try to find a little different kind of humor? I want to laugh with you, but that stuff, it's kind of offensive to me in a way that you can do it. That's not laying a heavy trip on him. And you keep reaching out and being a friend to this person, but at a certain level, obviously that stuff is polluting. And then, you know, worse still, the joke's in your head. And it's almost exactly like you want to tell it to somebody else, but it's wrong. And so there's a way to do it where you don't seem self-righteous and you just say, you know, I really just try to keep my spirit clean. That stuff is just like putting wrong fluids in a car or wrong food in your body just kind of messes with me a little. So I know you don't mean anything by it, but you got any clean jokes? Because I love to laugh with you, man. And try to approach it like that and maybe bring some conviction into his life. But it's a great question, David. Thanks for calling. I got to run, got a break here. Look, we are in this world. We're in the world. We're not of it. What does that mean? What does it mean to be in the world and not of it? Can it be that, and it's one thing also to be around worldly people using profanity on the job and talking unclean, and you're working side by side, you can't get away from it, to try to shine the light in that, versus willingly being entertained and polluted by unclean images, by unclean thoughts, by things that have, for entertainment value, flooded our lives, and they're unclean. We can do better, and if we get closer to Jesus, I believe our convictions will sharpen. We'll be back with your calls.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, folks, for joining us on The Line of Fire today. Look, I live for awakening in the church. Why? Because that's the hope of the world. We who have the message of life, we who have the message of salvation, we who know God and are called to make him known, if we fall on the job, if we fail to sound the alarm, if we fail to call people to repentance, if we fail to offer them new life in Jesus and forgiveness of sins, where are they going to get salvation? Where are they going to get wholeness? Where are they going to get transformation? Where are they going to get a moral conscience? If we have lost our moral conscience, how can we expect the world to have it? People who don't know God, people who don't have the scriptures, people who haven't had a life-changing encounter with Jesus, if we've lost our way, how can we expect the world to find its way? That's why my biggest issue, friends, is not with the world, it's with the church. But I believe, I firmly believe, God will hear the cries of his people. I firmly believe that change will come. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Michael in Miami, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown?
Yes, hello.
Yes, hi. Yeah, my comment was based on that. I mean, I'm 24 years old. I remember the finding the Lord last year, and I used to live a very moral lifestyle. And society has influenced, the youth especially. I mean, even with the schools, with the LGBT, now they allow all that, and the public schools. And you can't even have prayer and things like that. And it's wrong. I mean, it's just all the sin and immoral lifestyle is just influencing the culture completely. And, I mean, I'd say it's wrong. I mean, I know your opinion is probably the same as mine, most definitely.
Yeah, what has to happen, Michael, is that awakening has to begin in our own lives. That's the editorial that I wrote that came out in Christian Post yesterday, and I actually shared it on the air. Let the awakening begin with us. Let's search our own hearts. Let's search our own lives. This is what I put at the end of that article. It's not time for us to point accusing fingers at this denomination or that leader, at this local congregation or at that TV preacher. Rather, as Ambrose said, before God can deliver us, we must undeceive ourselves. And the awakening that we so desperately need, yes, the awakening that America must have, begins with each of us individually. Each of us must search our own hearts and lives and ask, have I left my first love? Have I become cold or compromised? Have the values of the world corrupted me? Have I become polluted by sin? As an old evangelist once counseled, the best way to pray for revival is to draw a circle on the ground and step inside that circle and then pray, Lord, revive everything inside the circle. Let the awakening begin with us. Okay, I'll keep this. All right, there was a caller wanted to stay anonymous that really will be anonymous with the situation in Massachusetts. So no problem about people finding out who you were, sir, because we were not able to get to your call in time. Cody in Prospect Park, Brooklyn, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Yeah, hi. I had a comment about the schooling of the kids nowadays.
Yes, sir.
Well, I grew up in, I guess you'd say, rural Ohio, and I remember over the principal's door was the paddle, with the holes drilled in it, and if you did something wrong, you got the paddle.
Wow.
And Yeah, I mean, and but I think you know, we've come quite a ways from those days, and I have to say, God willing, if I have children, I'm seriously considering just homeschooling them, because I bought your book and I read the whole thing, and I have to say, if all your research is true and we're heading in that direction, then I will certainly not be putting my kids at risk of that kind of information.
Yeah, Cody. Obviously things have changed quite dramatically from the days of having paddles in schools. I didn't grow up with that either, but I can tell you the schools that I grew up with, being born in 1955, are as different as night from day or day from night as much of what's in the school systems today. Cody, as an example of how far our culture has shifted, think of this. Our president said he will no longer defend the Defense of Marriage Act, saying that marriage is the union of a man and woman. He finds it to be problematic and discriminatory. So the House of Representatives says, then we will take this up. John Boehner says, fine, we will take this up. And they hire one of the lead attorney firms in America to defend the Defense of Marriage Act, and they contractually agree to do it. And then what happens? They back out. They back out because there's too much pressure. It is too politically incorrect to say marriage is the union of a man and woman, to the point that having agreed to back this and stand with the House of Representatives and the American government and stand for the Defense of Marriage Act, instead they drop the case. One of the lead attorneys said, well, then I'm resigning from the firm to carry the case on with someone else. That's the type of pressure. It is mind-boggling, but that's what we're up against. Cody, God bless you as you stand for what is right. Look, there are families that are godly families that feel they can put their kids into very worldly schools, and those kids have deep enough values in the home and strength enough in the church youth that they can go and be a positive impact in those schools. Hey, if you've got a good track record with that and your kids are healthy and strong, God bless you. For many others, for the majority of folks I know, they're either pulling their kids out for homeschooling or for Christian schooling. I know not everyone's able to do that. We've got to do our best as a church, as people of God, to work together to help one another in these ways. But things are at the point now when just standing up for what is normal and right and historic is now considered so controversial that a major law firm, one of the biggest in the country, backs out of defending something that is law in America? I don't know if you understand the resistance we have with the stances that we take, not just for holiness in general, not just for moral purity in general. By God's grace, we're seeking to live this out. Every one of us, one way or another, falls short of the ideal. We go to God for cleansing. We repent and we turn to do what's right. But if you understood the resistance that we get, the constant resistance that we get for dealing with issues having to do with homosexuality, friends, you would be shocked. Let me encourage you again. You heard that last caller. If you haven't gotten a copy of A Queer Thing Happened to America, go online to Amazon. Go to Amazon.com, order it there. You can't get it in bookstores yet. Oh, that's interesting. Order it online from Amazon.com. Once you get the book and have time to go through it, post a review, okay? Because other people will post bogus reviews attacking it that haven't even read it. This is a way that you can be part of the revolution. This is a way that you can be part of the gospel-based change by being equipped, being aware. You can also take advantage of our special prayer resource, 36 hours of teaching on prayer, intercession, spiritual warfare, offered today at less than $1 per hour, half price of the normal offer, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line is this: now is the time for major radical awakening. Now is the time for deep repentance. Now is the time for a fresh encounter with God. If we draw near to Him, He will draw near to us. the Word of God calls us to come out from the world and be separate from its defilement while at the same time going into the world to preach the gospel. Could it be that we've gotten it backwards? Could it be we've come out of the world with the gospel but gone into the world in terms of sin?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, let's put these two verses together, one from the Gospel of John, one from 1 John. Gospel of John, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, his one and only son. You know that, John 3:16. Okay, 1 John 2, beginning verse 15. Don't love the world, neither the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, is not of the Father, it's of the world, and the world and its lusts are passing away, but he who does the will of God remains forever. How is it that we can love the world as God loves the world, and yet not love the world as we're commanded not to love it? Michael Brown, delighted to be with you here on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Weigh in on Facebook at Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown. On Facebook, we've also got a lot of relevant resources for you. Friends, I am convinced that not only have we fallen short of really reaching out to a lost and dying world, come on, and how many of our congregations, churches, Messianic congregations, whatever we're part of, and how many of them is reaching out to the lost high on the priority? How many people have been added to our assembly, to our body in the last year, in the last 5 years, through coming to faith in Jesus? I mean, it should be, if you think of it, the majority every year, and it keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, that more and more people are coming, or at least of the new people being added to us, that it's not just, you know, someone down the road didn't like their church, they came over to ours, or someone down the road had a problem with this issue, they came over to our place, or they left our place, went somewhere else. It should be new people being saved in terms of the majority of new people coming in. Not only have we fallen short in terms of reaching out to a lost and dying world, but we have fallen short in terms of living differently. We love the people. We love the people of the world. And we enjoy the good creation God has given. But in terms of the sins of the world, in terms of the flesh, we separate ourselves. It is a shame that so many believers are more familiar with what's happening on TV, more familiar with the latest gossip news, more familiar with the latest movies, more familiar with the latest videos or video games or whatever it is that's out in the culture, more familiar with that than the truths of God's word. And listen, let's just say I go outside and it's pouring rain. I go outside for 10 minutes in the pouring, saturating rain. And then I come in. All right, I am soaked from head to toe. My clothes are soaked. I am soaked from head to toe. And you take a hair dryer and blow it on me for 30 seconds. Is that going to get my clothes completely dry? Is that going to get my body completely dry, my hair completely dry? No. And yet, in many ways, that's what's happening with the church. In many ways, we are saturated by the culture of the world, saturated by the sin of the world, saturated by the entertainment of the world, and then have these little sporadic moments where we read the word or pray or go to a congregational service of some kind, and we think that somehow that's going to make up for the pollution. The call from God to us is a very high and wonderful calling. It's a beautiful calling. It's a calling that God can give us the grace to live out. Ephesians 5, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love just as Messiah loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people, nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. I say that the world has changed the church in a profound way. I say the sins of the world have become the sins of the church rather than us bringing light to the world. Do you agree or do you differ? 866-34-TRUTH.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you, friends, for joining us today on The Line of Fire. I am delighted to be with you. My heart burns to see awakening in the church so that the world can find out who Jesus really is. My heart burns to see awakening in the church so that you and I can be free from the garbage and the pollution and the junk that seeks to pull us down, and we can really walk as people of God and experience what God promised, know Him and make Him known. I'm just convinced that there's more. I'm convinced that there's more that God's promised. I'm convinced that there's more that we can walk in this world, and that the state of the church in America today is not what God has intended, by and large. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. If you listen regularly, you may remember that Wednesdays we focus on moral and cultural issues. And I'm going to talk a little bit about things happening in our schools today as well, as symptomatic of the larger issues in the society. But today we're looking in the mirror. I want to share something with you. This is an editorial that I wrote that was just published in the Christian Post. You can freely copy it, post it yourself, link to it, like it, recommend it, tweet it, however you get it out. There are links to it on our website or on the Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown. It's called Let the Awakening Begin. Specifically, Let the Awakening Begin with Us. Here's what I wrote. America's crisis today is not economic. Excuse me. Let's read what I wrote properly. America's greatest crisis today is not economic, nor is it political, social, or military. To be sure, we are teetering on the edge of a massive financial collapse, while at the same time we are politically and socially divided, not to mention mired in two or three costly wars. But our greatest crisis goes deeper. It is a spiritual crisis. And because it is a spiritual crisis, it is a moral crisis. The light within us has become dark, and the salt has lost its saltiness. The Church of Jesus, which is called to be the spiritual lamp and the moral preservative of society, has fallen asleep. The awakening must begin with us. This is not to minimize the many acute problems we face in our country today. Abortion on demand still takes more than a million lives a year. The family unit continues to erode. Gay activism continues to challenge our biblical values and freedoms. Human trafficking, gang violence, teen drug use, and a host of other social ills stare us in the face. But our problem is not so much the presence of darkness as it is the absence of light. The finger must first be pointed at us. You see, it is to be expected that sinful people do sinful things and that worldly people do worldly things. But it is unexpected when those called to be righteous live just like the world, when the sins of the society become the sins of the church, when it is the world that changes the church rather than the church that changes the world. Can anyone really dispute that for the last generation that is exactly what has happened? It was Dr. Martin Luther King who noted that the church must be reminded that it is not the master or the servant of the state, but rather the conscience of the state. It must be the guide and the critic of the state and never its tool. This certainly cuts to the core of the never-ending debate about the meaning of the separation of church and state. King also issued this warning: if the church does not recapture its prophetic zeal, it will become an irrelevant social club without moral or spiritual authority. What an indictment of the American church today. Having lost our prophetic zeal, our consciousness of God, our conviction of sin, our brokenness for the lost, our courage to go against the grain and challenge the status quo, our moral imperative, we have become in all too many cases an irrelevant social club. In fact, it would not be that far out of line for many of our religious assemblies to change their marquees to read, "Irrelevant Social Club, meet Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights." Without a doubt, there is a godly remnant that is seeking God, reaching out, touching the world, making a difference. But if we deceive ourselves if we imagine it is anything more than a remnant. George Barna discovered that the most accurate articulation of the moral standard of today's Christian teens was whatever, while Professor Kenda Creasy Dean, in her book Almost Christian, What the Faith of Our Teenagers is Telling the American Church, argued persuasively that the toothless and tepid Christianity found among young people in many of our churches has been inherited directly from their parents. We've gotten to the point where we hope, rather than take for granted, that the famous pastor or evangelist or teacher whose ministry has so blessed us will not be caught in some kind of moral scandal. Well, on the local level, millions of people are dropping out of church participation because of boredom and disillusionment. This is not the glorious church for which Jesus died and rose and sent his Spirit. Something is terribly wrong, and something is clearly missing. But it is not time for us to point accusing fingers at this denomination or that leader, at this local congregation or at that TV preacher. Rather, as Ambrose said, before God can deliver us, we must undeceive ourselves. And the awakening that we so desperately need, yes, the awakening that America must have, begins with each of us individually. Each of us must search our own hearts and lives and ask, have I left my first love? Have I become cold or compromised? Have the values of the world corrupted me? Have I become polluted by sin? As an old evangelist once counseled, the best way to pray for revival is to draw a circle on the ground, then step inside that circle, and then pray, Lord, revive everything inside the circle. Let the awakening begin with us. Let me point something out to you, friends, found in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul was dealing with a question of unrepentant, willful sin being practiced, even flaunted in the body. Listen, every one of us knows the mercy of God on our lives, not just before we knew the Lord, but as believers. We know the mercy of God if we have any consciousness of our own failings and of his extraordinary grace. And I would be the first to put my arm around someone struggling 100 times and help him or help her back up to their feet and encourage them that they can be whole in the Lord. It's another thing when someone willfully and unrepentantly and boldly continues in sin and says, I can do this as a follower of Jesus, and it is perfectly fine. Paul dealt with that issue where he said it is actually reported among you that there's sexual immorality among you of a kind that does not even occur among pagans. A man has his father's wife, and you are proud. Maybe they thought, isn't this great? Look at the liberty we have in Jesus. Whatever it was a perversion. So Paul says this is how you have to deal with this situation. Verse 9, 1 Corinthians 5, I've written you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people, not at all meaning the people of this world who are immoral or the greedy and swindlers or idolaters. In that case, you'd have to leave this world. So he's saying if you were going to break contact with worldly people, with people who worship idols, with people who are sexually immoral, with people who are greedy or swindlers, if you're going to break contact with them, not even have meals with them, you have to leave this world entirely because the world is filled with such people. He says, but now I'm writing you that you must not associate with anyone who calls himself a brother. So someone who identifies as a follower of Jesus, a brother or sister in Jesus, who calls himself a brother but is sexually immoral or greedy, an idolater or slanderer, a drunkard or a swindler, such a man, do not even eat. He said, now look, if I was counseling you to do this with the world, you'd have to leave the world. But I am telling you, if within your assembly, and maybe the Corinthian assembly in those days had, I don't know, 70 believers, you're not talking about thousands at this early stage of development. He's saying, look, someone claims to be a follower of Jesus, they claim to be one of us, and they are a practicing unrepentant drunkard, or they're a practicing unrepentant sexually immoral person, they're practicing unrepentant swindler, a greedy person, and they won't heed the correction of the body and the discipline of the body, don't even eat with that person. The goal is to shame them. The goal is to make them recognize the ugliness of sin. The goal is to put them outside the place of safety within the body, which is where sin puts you, so that they recognize their need and turn and repent. The goal is always restoration. And by putting them out now, you're saying this is what's going to happen on Judgment Day. Paul said if you tried to do that with the world, you'd have to leave the world. Sadly, you have to leave the church today. I'm not just talking about a mega church with 15,000 people and you can't know how everybody's living. I'm talking about a local assembly with 100, 200 people that often right in our midst, we have people willingly practicing these things and not repenting and then justifying them in the name of grace, justifying them because we don't want to be, quote, legalistic, justifying them because, hey, God understands my sin and I have liberty. Friends, we have liberty from sin, not to sin. Jesus died to set us free from sin, not to give us the license to continue in sin. He saves us from our sins, not in our sins. And sadly, we have gotten to the state in the body today where these moral lines have gotten so blurred that our kids are growing up with a lot of spiritual blindness, and it's partly our fault for not transmitting truth, righteousness to them, setting standards. 866-34-TRUTH. As I've said many times, when you look at posters for the local fitness club in your neighborhood that doesn't have someone terribly out of shape pictured there and say, hey, you can relate to this, come here and you can get better shape. No, they show you what the goal is, somebody athletic and great shape, full of life, saying that's what will happen to you if you join our fitness club. We need to show the world a different way. We don't need to say to the world, hey, we're just like you. We're as messed up as you are. We're as confused as you are. Come and be part of us. No, we need to say we found the way. We found Jesus, and he's changed us. You can be changed, too. We'll take your calls on the other side of the break.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire. Okay, special announcement. Special announcement for everyone living in the greater Raleigh, North Carolina area. If you're living in greater Raleigh, North Carolina, this announcement is for you. Stop the music and listen. Here's the deal. Okay, I don't want to make it overly suspenseful. May 11th, mark it down. May 11th, I'll be having a pastor's luncheon about our religious freedoms under fire. A pastor's luncheon in Raleigh from 11:30 to 1. We'll have all the details for you shortly. I'll tell you where you can find out about what to do, how to be part of that. 11:30 to 1, and then at 7 in the evening, a rally for all of you who listen to The Line of Fire. I'm going to talk about the brainwashing of our kids and what we can do. You don't want to miss this. That will be held 7 p.m. for the general public. So be there. Spread the word if you live in greater Raleigh, North Carolina. If you want to drive in for it, that will be coming your way May 11th. Okay, we're talking about, as we focus on moral and cultural revolution, we're talking about our role as the body. We've often addressed this, but I want to focus on something so fundamental. We are called to come out and be separate. We are called to separate ourselves from the sin and the pollution of the world. How do we do that without being like, we are better than you? We're not filthy sinners like you are. How do we really live pure lives, godly lives, holy lives, dedicated lives, without being polluted by the filth of the world? And without at the same time seeming to be self-righteous. 866-34-TRUTH. I want to say once more that I firmly believe that the church has been changed by the world rather than the world changing the church in this last generation. That the sins that are plaguing the world are plaguing the church, and it ought not to be like that. Look, I'm not shooting heroin anymore. I haven't for 40 years. I'm not getting high anymore. I haven't for 40 years. I'm not doing other ungodly things I did before I was saved. Yeah, I have issues, to, you know, grow more in the character of Jesus, be more loving and gracious towards other people, be more careful with my thought life, with the words I speak. I'm growing in Jesus, but I'm not who I was. I hope the same can be said of you and thousands of others who are listening. The question is then, why is it that we drink in so much of the pollution of the world? Why is it that we go swimming in the pollution of the world and don't think anything of it? I mean, could it be that we've lost our consciousness of God? Last year, I did a debate with Rabbi Shmuley about homosexuality, and he proposed the title is Homosexuality America's Greatest Moral Crisis? I told him I wasn't that keen on the title, but I was happy to interact with him on it and use that as the title of the debate, and then we develop our own responses and theses. So I said, no. Homosexuality is not the greatest moral crisis in America today. And then I talked about the issues of gay activism and why that's a serious moral crisis. I said the greatest moral crisis in America today, and my precious wife of 39 years, Nancy, we discussed this together and agreed that the greatest moral crisis in America today is the lack of consciousness of God. Again, I'll say it once more. The problem is not so much the presence of darkness as it is the absence of light. Can you imagine you flip the light on and then something flips on darkness and the darkness makes the light diminish? How can that be? It should be, no matter how dark it is, that light is the thing making the difference, and yet the light has become compromised itself. That's why the awakening has to begin with us. John in Woodstock, Georgia, you seem to take issue with this.
Yes, sir. I believe that you're implying that the gates of hell have overcome the church.
No, not at all.
Contrary. All right.
No, I'm saying that just like the church in Laodicea, in Revelation the third chapter, that he said, "You say I'm rich and increased in goods and have need of nothing, and don't realize you're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked." I'm saying that much of the body in America is very much Laodicean. Jesus continues to build his church around the world and continues to have a remnant in America, but the born-again church in America, by and large, is polluted, compromised, worldly, like Sardis, which had a reputation of being alive and yet was dead, like Laodicea that was wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked and didn't know it.
But, see, you yourself and your faith group, you change. I mean, you show that it happened back in the day. You spoke of St. Ambrosia. You don't keep his tradition.
Well, we're not talking about Catholicism. Hey, John, if this is another discussion about Catholicism.
I'm talking about 2 Thessalonians 3:16, which you already stated, and said if anyone walks disorderly and not according to the traditions that you have received from us, have nothing to do with them.
All right, John, are you going to... hang on, John. All right, we got into a discussion about Catholicism last week. I had a hunch it might have been the same person.
I mean, you spoke of the Catholic
John, John, we're not talking about Catholic tradition today, all right? If you want to call in and address a subject that's relevant, by all means, we'll talk about it. But we're not going to quote verses about tradition to try to argue that the church is trying to keep tradition. So I'm very happy to talk to you, but let's restart afresh. And the day that we talk about the church and tradition and Protestantism versus Catholicism, wonderful. I'll just say this. I have apologized to multiplied thousands of Jews for the sins of the Catholic Church in medieval history and before, as I have apologized to Jews for the sins of Martin Luther against the Jewish people. So let's not point fingers here, all right? Matthew in Portland, Oregon, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Michael, thank you for having me on. I found your show today by accident, so to speak, driving down the road, clicked it on, heard the things you were saying and thinking, oh, man, that's what we need in the church today. That's it. Somebody gets it. I didn't know who it was speaking, and then when I heard your name, I remembered your ministry from years ago. And really thankful that God has put you on this platform and you're sounding the trumpet, the clarion call of the shofar to the church. And what you're saying just, I mean, it sounds like the book I wrote a book right along these lines, and the encouraging thing, the Lord got the book published. The encouraging thing to me is that responses I've gotten from people all across America and in the UK have shown me there really is a strong remnant. Yes, it's small if you look at the percentage of the whole, but God still has a people out there that get it. And the thing that I am trying to encourage the church in my arena, is so that we've got to return to two things. In fact, the name of the book is The Return. We've got to return to our first love, which you already referenced from Revelation, and we have to return to prayer. And it seems like that's the hardest thing for us to do sometimes. As American believers, we make time.
Hey Matthew, we're up against a break. The two things, return to our first love and return to
prayer.
Prayer. All right. And yesterday, my entire show was about prayer as a foundation for everything we do. Thank you for calling in. Let's get this started in our own lives, and hopefully it will spread to others as well. And bless you for your book. All right, friends, we come back. We're going to talk about the schools to wake up our consciousness, and then back to the role of the church in the world.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us. Let the awakening begin with us. We know the world is messed up. I say the world is messed up because the church is messed up. It's messed up because many of us who should be holding up the standard have been brought down by the world. Rather than being a life-giving influence, rather than raising the standard, rather than going into the world with a message of transformation, the world's pollution has come our way and changed us. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. We who are called to be a moral disinfectant in the society have actually lost our fragrance and become polluted ourselves. That's what we're focusing on today on the line of fire, putting the attention on us. But I also want to give you a perspective. When we lose our way, what happens in the society? When we lose our focus, what happens to the society around us? You can join in the discussion on our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown. But I want you to clearly understand what's happening in the school systems in California. Clip number two.
Now to California, where proposed legislation would require social science lessons to cover contributions by, quote, both men and women, Native Americans, African Americans, Mexican Americans, Asian Americans, Pacific Islanders, European Americans, lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender Americans. That lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender part is the sticking point for most opponents.
Yep. So, in other words, that the schools will specifically use as role models, okay, here's a cross-dressing man, and he's made a great contribution to American society or our city, and you'll teach about that. Here's a gay activist. We want to highlight the fact this man was homosexual to your little kids, and great role model for here. This is now mandatory in the schools. In the first hour of broadcasting today, I had on with me Lori Higgins from the Illinois Family Institute, and asked her about her experience as a school teacher over a number of years before going into the Illinois Family Institute. Here's what she had to say. Hello? Here's what Lori had to say. Are we missing? Did Lori go silent on us? All right, we are getting that clip ready. Looks like we took our guys by surprise there. All right, here we go with Lori.
Full-time in the Writing Center at Deerfield High School. It's on Chicago's North Shore. It's an affluent suburb, a very liberal community. All four of my kids went there, so I really knew what was going on in the school. And I was a substitute teacher in that district for 2.5 years. I was a member of the English department when I was in the Writing Center. And over that decade between when my first child came and my last child, there were some activists that came on as faculty members, and they affected huge problematic changes in the district. And conservative parents need to understand there are many liberal teachers in schools, but many liberal teachers just want to teach their subject area. All you need is a handful of activists. They get on committees and they start affecting changes, and conservative parents lack the courage to say anything, and those changes move through. We have to be willing to be persecuted. If we're not, we pass a much bigger problem on to our children and grandchildren. And in the process, we teach them by our silence to be cowardly conformists. Parents will say to me, well, I'm afraid my child might experience some sort of grade retribution. If we're talking about high school students, I think they should be willing to accept that. My daughter, her senior year, my youngest, I was speaking out more. I was writing to our local press. And I always asked her what she would think of things before I sent them to the press or spoke at a school board meeting. She was always okay. And I asked her that about grade retribution, and she said, I'll take the hit. And that's what we should want our kids to say. I'll take a B instead of an A or a C instead of a B. This is too important for us to remain silent. I don't think there's a greater threat to First Amendment speech rights, religious liberty, or parental rights than that posed by the homosexual agenda.
Yes, yes, ma'am. Well said. We must take it to heart. The world is changing the church. We're not impacting the world.
Oh, God of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Okay, here's how far things have gone in the culture under our watch. And let me ask you something. Do we right now have liberty to talk about whatever we want from our pulpits? Yeah, I don't mean heavy, heavy political endorsements, but talk about whatever we want, any subject we want, basically from our pulpits. Yes. Do we have liberty to broadcast what we want on TV and radio across America, Christian TV and radio? Yes. Yes, we do. Do we have liberty in our homes to study whatever we want to study? Yes. Yes, we do. Do we have best-selling Christian books? Yes, we do. Do we have just about Christian everything, Christian influence, be it in the political realm, be it in the media, be it in the educational system, business world, major Christians, all these different places? How is it that the culture shifted so dramatically, so radically, in losing its moral base and losing its spiritual understanding on our watch? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I believe God is going to send us an awakening. I believe he is going to pour out mercy in the midst of judgment and shaking. But we must be desperate. We must recognize the need. And then when we cry out, he'll really answer. Is there really a cry? Or have we been so numbed by the world and numbed by the society that we have lost our moral consciousness, that we have lost our consciousness of God, that we have become hardened with the sin of the world? Paul wrote to the Ephesians in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, and talked about there the hardening of the heart in the Gentile world, meaning the pagans in this context. And he says this, that I tell you this, Ephesians 4:17, and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Hardening of the heart is very dangerous. We know the danger of the hardening of the arteries physically. How about the hardening of the heart spiritually? How about the hardening of the heart where the pollution of the world fills our hearts, minds, the uncleanness, the sin, the sexual bombardment that all around us so fills our lives that we become hardened? And rather than being God's solution in the earth, we become part of the problem, or we're just in survival mode. Am I the only one that feels that we can do better in God? Am I the only one who feels that there's more that God's promised us? Am I the only one who often feels ashamed of the state of the body, sometimes my own state in God in terms of the potential of who he is and what he's promised? I don't mean this as someone standing over me with a whip saying, do better. I mean this as an invitation that there's more. God saying, dive in. God saying, I'm available. You know, I talked about prayer yesterday before I take some calls here. When I talked about prayer yesterday, I was convicted in my own life saying, why not give yourself more to prayer if it is, in fact, the most important thing that you could possibly do in the course of a day is have quality interaction with God? Why aren't you, Mike Brown, giving yourself more deeply to prayer? By the way, on that note, and also in response to a call yesterday, we put together a special resource package. I haven't mentioned it yet this hour, with three CDs, with each containing 12 hours of teaching, Foundations of Prayer, Foundations of Intercession, and Spiritual Warfare, 36 hours of teaching for less than $1 an hour on CD for your computer or your MP3 player, deeply scriptural and deeply practical and deeply life-transforming. You can get all three sent to you postage paid for just $30 by calling 1-800-278-9978. That is 1-800-278-9978. The offers are also available at AskDrBrown.org if you click on the Line of Fire for today's show. So a tremendous resource, really will be tremendously life-impacting for you to deepen your prayer life, to deepen you in intercession, and to show you biblical principles of spiritual warfare, the battle that we're in. 1-800-278-9978 to take advantage of that. But I think that it's good news when we hear that something is missing. You know, if you went on a vacation, you saved all kinds of money, and maybe you went on a cruise to Alaska. I've Nancy and I got to go on a cruise to Alaska a few years ago because I was participating, doing some ministry for Messianic Jewish congregations, raising money to help minister to poor believers in Israel. So we got comped. If I would do ministry there, we'd get a free cruise and then just, you know, pay for extras with it. So we got to go on our first cruise, and boy, gorgeous in Alaska, just amazing stuff. Well, what if you're on your first cruise ever, and you're on this cruise, and, I mean, the food is terrible, and there's six extra people that are sharing your little cabin, and it doesn't stop at any places of interest, and it stays so far offshore that all you see is, you know, occasional seagull flying by. You think, I don't know, something's wrong. And then other people say that there was a mistake with this cruise, and somehow these other people took the thing over and just using it for transport. We're getting all our money back, plus a free cruise on top of that we don't have to pay for. This thing is an absolute disaster. Oh, okay, then I'm not the only one that thinks something's wrong. I believe the Church of Jesus can do better. I believe that followers of Jesus should not be conformed to the world, that we don't need to immerse ourselves in the worst of the world's culture and become like it and drink it in and take it in order to reach the world. In fact, in order to reach a poison victim, you don't want that poison in your system, do you? The people working in the emergency room are not themselves experiencing physical emergencies, or they wouldn't be there. The people that are up teaching, for example, calculus, are not trying to figure out that 2 + 2 = 4. In order to bring a solution, we ourselves have to be free of the problem. We have to be on the other side of it. I don't share my testimony from LSD to PhD because I've struggled with drug use for 40 years. It's because I've been free from it. By the grace and power of God, I can offer that same freedom to others. Paul warned the Galatians, it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. So don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage, in that case with illegalism. But in other contexts, the yoke of bondage is the bondage of the flesh. Why play games with something that Jesus has liberated us from? Miriam in, you're going to have to help me with the pronunciation, Wahi'onwa, Hawaii. Okay, thank you.
Hi.
Hello, go ahead.
Actually, I totally agree with you. I do. I think my problem that I'm facing right now is whenever you walk into society and there's not a lot of Christian followers, I mean true followers who have a relationship with God, they tend to outcast a lot of people, people who are poor, people who do drugs, people who have problems, people who seem crazy, and to kind of keep their world okay. And all of those people, I noticed through my walk with the Lord, all of those people who are casted from society seem to understand where I'm coming from so much more than the people, like, for instance, my parents. They believe that my friends are no good. Okay, totally understandable. I cannot understand what it is that my parents like until I realized that they're greedy. They're greedy, and money makes the world go round, apparently. And I have no money right now. I'm walking through my relationship with the Lord outside of our household, and I notice that the people who are cast out of society are so much more quicker to know God or to want to know God than the people who are okay in the eyes of society. Now, moving into a smaller, a tighter circle here in my household, I'm the only one who has independently started a relationship with God, and that was my problem. I did it independently. So I'm really lost as to what to do next so that I can actually repent my sin and give it to God instead of thinking that, oh, well, this person who is poor, living off the street, doing whatever, I'll go hang out with him because at least he understands me. You know, I want to be able to be okay in this world too, but still have my relationship with God, and I'm just,
Let me jump in because I've got a break. I've got a break coming up. So just to explain how to approach this. First, within the home, you want to step back and ask, what would impress my family? What would impress my family? It may not impress them if you pray a lot, if you read the Bible a lot, but if you act graciously towards them, if you take an interest in their lives, if they see greater love than they've ever seen before, that'll get their attention. They may come against you for your values and other things. That's fine. It happens. Separation does come over the gospel. But ideally, we want to set the best example that we can and show, hey, Jesus has made a positive impact on my life. As for hanging out with the world, if you can minister to worldly people, if you can minister to the down and outer and the drug addict and the prostitute and be a positive influence on them, wonderful. The danger is often when you hang with people, their values start to infect you. So if you can be a positive influence on them, wonderful. Otherwise, find yourself 2, 3, 4 other believers. Go after Jesus together, and then together, reach out to those folks. Also, if you go to my website, askdrbrown.org, there's a lot of stuff you can listen to, read that'll help you grow in Jesus. Thank you for the call.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I'm not discouraged. I'm not discouraged at all. I am encouraged because our God is on the throne and because his purposes are being worked out on the earth in the midst of the sin and the chaos. But I am concerned that many of us have not heard the wake-up call. I'm concerned that many of us are indifferent. Many of us are apathetic. Many of us are so dull that the consciousness of God and holy standards are almost forgotten by us. Maybe there was a place you once walked with God that was so different you've almost forgotten about it. Perhaps it can be recovered. Perhaps there's something deeper that you can have in God. Perhaps there's a sensitivity to right and wrong that you've never had before that can come through meditation on the Word and prayer. Hey, the Word of God does separate between soul and spirit. The Word of God has that ability to show us what is right and what is wrong like nothing else. What happened if we put away some of the non-essential reading and information? I don't need to know what everyone had for breakfast on Facebook. I don't need to know what store you're at right now, but I do need to know what God has to say about things. Think about what would happen if we drank in, took in the Word of God more every day. Don't worry about 12 hours a day. How about 12 minutes? How about 22 minutes? How about 4? You know what I'm saying? Move in the right direction until digesting, taking in, meditating in the Word of God becomes a life habit. 866-34-TRUTH. 866-348-7884. Hey, just another reminder, as I talked earlier this half hour about the schools. You know, the fact of the matter is that I wrote the book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, to awaken the moral conscience of the nation, believing that God could use that book to make an impact. And when you read it, that'll help lead to awakening in your own life because you realize what's happening in society around us while we have lost our cutting edge. So if you don't have the book yet, trust me, this would be one of the best investments you've ever made. Go to Amazon.com and get a copy of A Queer Thing Happened to America. It's not available in bookstores yet that I know of, and we'll see what happens with bookstores. But go to Amazon.com right now. As soon as you have a break, order your copy of A Queer Thing Happened to America. Universally, we've heard from everyone who has gotten it and read it that it is having a very intense impact on them as they read it. It will play into awakening because it'll drive you to your knees and give you a greater consciousness of how the world has been transformed because of the void left by the church. All right, let me grab one more call. Paul in Jacksonville, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, praise and glory to Yeshua.
Amen.
Thank you for putting me on, sir. Yeah, I agree with you about schools, and they should have never taken the Bible and Ten Commandments out. That was the biggest downfall they ever did. Our schools are suffering. But why I'm calling is because I agree with you about the condition of the church right now. I go to my church. It looks like a nightclub, complete with fog machines, the light shows, the girls with the little short skirts on and short shirts. I have to turn my head every time I go to church. I see less of this kind of clothing out in the streets than I do when I go to church on Sunday mornings. It's atrocious. It really is.
Yeah, it's one thing, Paul, if we're talking about worldly people coming into our assembly, someone who doesn't know the Lord. You know, you witness to your next-door neighbor, and she's a stripper, you know, and she's going to show up at mm-hmm. the service, and she's not dressed well. or you got your unsafe biker friends and they're coming, and after the service, you know, a guy starts to light up a cigarette in the vestibule or starts using profanity. Hey, let those people come. Let them come in and hear the love of God. You're talking about people on the worship team sometimes. You're talking about...
It's the normal. It's the fashion now to wear those kind of clothes to church. You know, Christ said that he's coming back for a church without spot or blemish. Be holy, for I'm holy. And I've been going to church for about 3 years now, and I very rarely, if not, I can't even really recall a message about lust or about fornication. You know, all I hear about is increasing the numbers of the people coming in the door.
Yeah, and Paul,
I don't want to offend anybody.
Yeah, I'm glad you didn't mention the name of the church. That's a good example for our other listeners. This way we can talk more freely, because the moment, you know, somebody may just be some disgruntled former member of First Baptist somewhere, and they're going to come in and blast the church, and I have to be very careful about what I'm going to allow to be spoken.
No.
But in the case here, so what I'm saying is this is a good model. When you call in, you can speak freely if you don't name specific names, because we're just addressing the issue here.
Yeah,
and,
no,
look,
I'm doing
the,
out
the,
of love
the fact,
for ladies that
yeah,
go there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or something. Yeah,
absolutely. And I'm short on time, so I just want to jump in here, Paul, and say this: the New Testament is constantly addressing these kinds of issues. When you see Paul's give a list of sins of the flesh, he starts constantly with sexual immorality. That's an issue we have. I'm talking as a heterosexual here, focusing on that. That is an issue. The Old Testament warns against it frequently by example, by teaching, in the book of Proverbs. I mean, these things are just there, and we're dealing with them. We're bombarded. You go to a grocery store, you're bombarded with the racy magazines. You're watching a sports event, and there's the racy commercials, and it's just we're being bombarded with this stuff, the pollution of the world flooding our way. We need to know how to deal with it. We need to know how to keep our eyes pure. We're bombarded with it day and night through internet and so on. So shepherds need to address these things for the good and health of the flock. And I believe as they did, people would say, man, I needed to hear that. And those who get offended when we preach the truth in love, those people need our prayers. Those who get offended when we preach the truth in love, we need to reach out and try to help them and not get offended by their being offended. But we must stand for what's right, regardless of cost or consequence. I'll remind you, our brothers and sisters in different parts of the world are getting killed for the gospel, are getting tortured for the gospel, are going to prison for the gospel, are having their kids taken away from them for the gospel. And we're concerned someone won't like us. We're concerned someone may leave our church. We're concerned someone won't give to our ministry. We're going to have to do what's right in love. We're going to have to do what's right and trust God. I'll say again, the awakening must begin with us. We've come a long way from the legalism of telling a woman that her dress has to touch her ankles and that men can't wear wedding rings because it's worldly jewelry. We have come a long, long way. And sometimes we're more slick in quoting the latest anecdote from the latest movie than we are sharing the truth of the Word of God. Friends, I'm out of time, but our website has hundreds of hours of resources that will help you and bless you, free to listen to. So go to askdrbrown.org and check out the free resources there. Also, remember that the rest of this week, and then we're done, our six-week school of cultural engagement, six life-changing classes on separation of church and state, on engaging culture, Congress, and the media, on it's time to rock the boat, on reclaiming sexual purity with terrific teachers, 6 weeks of classes at a ridiculously low price, like 80% off. Call us at 1-800-278-9978 to take advantage of that, or our prayer resource package, 1-800-278-9978. You'll be blessed. You'll help us reach more people. My bottom line, let's not make excuses. Let's not point fingers. Let's not tell everyone else how bad they are, how wrong they are. Let's look in the mirror. Let's look in the mirror of the Word of God. Let's see what we should look like and how we should live. And let's take hold of the promises and the potential of God's Word living in us.